السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، قال تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وسارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة أرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: فإذا سألتم الله فاسألوه الفردوس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. We seek His assistance, we praise Him, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek protection in Allah from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah Ta'ala decrees guidance upon, none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah Ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, none can guide him. Complete peace and salutation be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and my dear brothers, I commence by reminding and enjoining firstly upon myself and you all to lead a life of taqwa. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah as you should be feared and die not except in a state of Islam, in a state of submission. O you who believe, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah by whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut relations of the womb. Surely Allah is an ever watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear him, and always speak which is true. He will direct you to righteous deeds and He will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed been guided. And the best speech is that of Allah Ta'ala, and the best guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also commence by praising and thanking Allah Ta'ala for blessing us with this Jumu'ah. It is a blessing that Allah Ta'ala has made exclusive upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and my dear brothers, as for the khutbah today, or the topic of the khutbah today, the effects of knowledge on early Muslims is evident to all. We are all aware of what an impact knowledge, ilm, has had throughout history in the Islamic civilization, early Muslims, and in the development of the Islamic community and society in general. But we are unaware of an equally important subject or topic. Perhaps we might need a reminder, and that is the subject or the concept of uluwul himma, meaning the aspect or the topic of having lofty, noble aspirations, positive thoughts, noble ambitions. So it is on these lines and in this regard and with regard to this topic that I hope to share a few thoughts with you in today's khutbah, inshallah. Respected elders and my dear brothers, this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which you and I are part of, holds a very high regard in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. holds a very high position. It occupies a very high status in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the Arabs, we all know through the lessons in history and the many lectures and the books and the articles or whatever we may have been exposed to, we know that when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to the Arabs, they were quite a low nation. They were quite an uncultured people. They used to rob one another. They used to kill one another for petty reasons. They were highway bandits. They used to cut family ties. So on and so forth. They even used to bury their newborn daughters alive. But when Islam came to them, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to them, this society that was in such a low state, that was in such an uncultured state, they changed. And they started becoming the best of people. They in fact brought and set an example to the world in civilization, which has not been paralleled whatsoever in history. The civilization that Islam brought to the world and the Islamic civilization in general. So they changed history. When Islam came to them, these people, they developed, they changed themselves. They changed history and set an example through the efforts and the contributions they have made, not only to the Muslim world, but to the world civilization and humanity in general. They started excelling as a society. They started excelling as individuals. To share a few examples, they started producing the best of leaders like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, amongst many others. They started producing, or they produced the best of scholars, amongst of course many scholars, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Imams, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They started excelling in knowledge, they started excelling in learning. They excelled, they had people who excelled in the field of economics, business, like the example of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. They had people, or they excelled in administration, governance, like the example of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. So they excelled as a society. Individuals started excelling by themselves. They started performing. They started developing. So this society started growing and developing and building, and it became a society where justice, fairness, equality prevailed. They also excelled in other worldly sciences. They started contributing to humanity, to the world in general as well. Muhammad ibn Musa is well known in the sphere of algebra for the contributions he has made to the world. Musa ibn Shakir is well known in the field or the science of mechanics for the contribution that they have made to the world or humanity in general. Ibn Haytham is well known for the contributions he has made in the field of optics. Qadi Abu Bakr is known in the world of physics for the contribution they have made in that area, on that sphere. Ibn Sina, Ibn Maymun, Ibn Rushd are known the world over for the contributions they have made in the field of medicine, surgery and so on. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah is known, respected and loved the world over by Muslims and non-Muslims alike for the contributions he has made in the field of philosophy. Even the women in society started making positive contributions. Of course, which need to be specified and kept in mind. Of course, within the hudud or the framework or the restrictions Sharia has set upon them. They started excelling, they started contributing. Aisha radiallahu anha is known to have memorized more than 2000 ahadith. She excelled in knowledge, in medicine, in math and so on. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to consult her at times for political advice. Safiya radiallahu anha was an expert in jurisprudence, fiqh. Sayyidina Nafisa radiallahu anha, granddaughter of Hassan radiallahu anhu, was one of the people that Imam Shafi rahimahullah is said to have acquired knowledge from. So they started excelling as a society in general. And another fact to mention, Fatima Al-Fihri from Morocco is said to have started, or the concept of awarding degrees is started to have originated in this university called the University of Qarawiyyin in Fez, Morocco, and then spread out towards other centers of learning throughout the world. Now, respected elders and my dear brothers, why I highlighted these developments or this path is to ask a question from ourselves, or rather ask a few questions from ourselves. Firstly, how did this transformation happen? What was the driving force for this transformation? There were a people who were highway bandits. There were a society who were engrossed in such transgression. But then they transformed and they started producing and contributing at such levels. So how did this transformation happen? And what was the driving force? What was the catalyst for this transformation? Respected elders and my dear brothers, in fact, as we may have understood, it is not a secret at all. The sole reason for this transformation, the sole reason for this society to excel was the deen of Islam. It is the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the formula, the recipe, the whatever we may call it, for success, to achieve the highest possible level in whatever field it may be, to achieve the highest possible status as a society, as an individual, as a family, as a community, it is in the deen of Islam. It is in the Quran and Sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then, the next question I want to ask ourselves is that, if it is the deen, which is the Quran and the Sunnah, that caused the transformation in these people, don't we have the same Quran and Sunnah with us today? Of course, the Quran is intact, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidun." Verily, it is we who have sent down the dhikr, referring to the Holy Quran, and it is we who will protect it, safeguard it. So the Quran is in its pristine form, as it was at the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the same Quran, the same teachings of the Quran which they had, we have today with us. The Sunnah, thanks to the efforts of the numerous scholars, is intact and in its purest form. So we too have the same recipe which these great individuals, these contributors, the reason for this transformation, what was used by these people to transform their lives, to transform their society, to contribute to humanity, to contribute to the deen, the same recipe, the same formula is with us today. Then there comes another question. Yes, we have the same Quran which they had. We have the same Sunnah or the guidance of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which they had. We have access to it. Then what is the difference? Respected elders and my dear brothers, the book is the same, the Quran is the same, the Hadith, the Sunnah is the same, but I believe the people, our attitudes today, our mindset today, our thinking today, our characteristics today is not the same. They were real men, they were real Muslims who did everything for the sake of Allah and sacrificed and contributed just for the sake of Allah. And out of these people, what would be one of a very common characteristic that we could identify of these people who brought glory to the Ummah, who brought a name, and who contributed in different ways to the world? What is one characteristic that could be noted? Of course, this I am talking as a characteristic, as a personality. Of course, I am talking in addition to their strong iman, their strong tawakkul, their strong piety, their strong religiosity, their consistency in their ibadah, them staying away from sin. In addition to all of those, as a characteristic, as a personality quality, what is one common thing that resonates across all of these individuals and across the Islamic civilization and history in general? Respected elders and my dear brothers, it is the subject of the topic what I wanted to share with you today, it is that they were people with al-himma al-aliyah. They were people with lofty, noble ambitions. They were people with high aspirations. They were people with a positive mindset. They were people with a confident thinking, not due to their strength or their dependence in any materialistic means, due to their connection with Allah Ta'ala. They were people of himma al-aliyah. They were people with lofty, noble ambitions and aspirations. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the potential. The same we have today. Allah Ta'ala has given us the potential. Allah Ta'ala has given us the potential to excel as individuals, as a community, as students, whatever it may be. Allah Ta'ala has given us the potential. So one of the key elements as a personality of a Muslim, in the personality of a Muslim, in the mindset of a Muslim, in the thinking of a Muslim, is that a Muslim always has noble ambitions, high aspirations. A Muslim does not settle for anything but the best in whatever field it may be. But respected elders and my dear brothers, the sad thing today is that firstly, this potential, this strength we have gained through, of course, through Islam, through our connection with Allah Ta'ala, is firstly rarely used. And if it is used at all, more often than not, we use it exclusively in achieving materialistic objectives. We channel all our strength, our focus, our energy in achieving our materialistic objectives. Of course, there is nothing wrong in aspiring to have a comfortable life, as long as what we aspire to is halal and the means we achieve it through is halal. But Islam, our deen, invites us not in subtle references, but in explicit connotations to strive for something higher, to strive to use this potential to serve the deen, in serving humanity and in getting closer to Allah. There is a hadith which is recorded in Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "Fil jannati miyatu daraja." Jannah or paradise is of 100 levels. مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ دَرَجَتَيْنِ كَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And between each level is the width or the space, that of the heavens and the earth. وَالْفِرْدَوْسُ أَعْلَاهَا. And Jannatul الْفِرْدَوْسِ is the highest level of paradise. وَمِنْهَا تُفَجِّرُ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ الْعَرْضَةِ. And from it spring forth the four rivers of paradise. وَمِنْ فَوْقِهَا يَكُونُ الْعَرْشِ. And above it, meaning above Jannatul Firdaus, is the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says towards the end of this hadith is something for us to ponder about. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after saying all this, after describing Firdaus, he said, فَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ. And if you ask Allah, if you supplicate to Allah, if you make dua, فَصَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. Ask for the best. Ask for Firdaus. So in other words, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, do not settle for anything but the best. When you make dua, ask for the best. Strive for the best. Strive to achieve the best. Respected elders and my dear brothers, Islam to the extent invites us and encourages us to have noble ambitions, to have noble aspirations, to the extent that, as mentioned in the hadith which is recorded in Bukhari, Muslim, and Imam Nawawi rahimahullah also records it in his Arba'een, Allah Ta'ala rewards us for just having a noble ambition, whether the deed is done or not. The Prophet the hadith says, فَمَنْ حَمَّ بِحَسْنَةٍ. Whoever intends to do something good, whoever has a noble ambition, whoever has a good aspiration to do something good, to do something worthwhile, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا. And he could not do it for some reason or the other. كَتَبَهَا اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَةً كَامِلًا. Allah writes by himself for the ambition, for the intent of having that noble ambition, a complete good deed. So respected elders and my dear brothers, and especially the beloved youths of today, who are the future of this community, who are the future of this ummah, the youth are the future of this ummah, please do not restrict your aspirations only to the materialistic ideologies of success that you see today and you are constantly exposed to on social media in terms of an extravagant lifestyle, fancy cars, designer clothing, so on and so forth. Of course, it is perfectly fine to strive to have a comfortable life, to have a decent living, that is perfectly fine. But, O youth, do not restrict yourself to achieving only this. Our aspirations, what Islam requires of us, and what is required of us as Muslims, is to have much far-reaching and higher aspirations and lofty, noble ambition to make contributions to this community, to the deen and society in general. Like the example shown to us by Ibrahim alayhi salam. As we know, we are just out of Hajj, and we were constantly reminded of the commitment and sacrifice of the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is commanded by Allah Ta'ala to leave his wife and child in Makkah. This is before the Kaaba. And in this time, as we know, as we have learned and as we have listened, it was a place which was barren. It had no sign of human existence. It had no sign of vegetation. It had no sign of water. It had no sign of any kind of activity. So it is in such an instance and such a context that Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves his wife and young child. But look what Ibrahim alayhi salam teaches us, or what his dua teaches us, of the thinking, or the far-sightedness, the lofty noble ambitions that is presented to us in the Holy Quran. The dua that he made is in the Holy Quran. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes the dua, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. O my Lord, bring forth from them a messenger, يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ, who will read to them your verses, وَيُعَلِّمْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, who will teach them the book and teach them wisdom, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, who will purify them, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, verily you are the Almighty, the All-Wise. So look at the context he was in, leaving the wife and child, no sign of human life, no water, no vegetation. But look at his mindset. Look at the aspiration he had. He asked Allah to bring from his progeny a prophet who would a messenger who would teach them the deen, who would purify them, who would teach them wisdom. This is the kind of thinking that is required from us as Muslims. And mind you, this dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came almost 25 generations down in his progeny. So respected elders and my dear brothers, it is not necessary that our aspirations, that we see the fruits or the results today or tomorrow or within our lifetime. What is important is that we make noble aspirations, noble ambitions, aim for high contributions, of which the results may come within our lifetime or later on. Allah knows best. So respected elders and my dear brothers, another beautiful example in the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. As we know, again, it is an example we listen to very often. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum are digging the trench, and it is a time when there was no food. The army, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were suffering with the pangs of hunger. The very famous and mentioned incident where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had fastened stones to their bellies, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself had fastened stones to his belly. So they're digging this trench, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum come across a rather stubborn stone which they are unable to move. So they call Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he comes and he strikes the stone once, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesizes the conquest of Sham. He strikes it the second time and prophesizes the conquest of Persia. He strikes it the third time and prophesizes the conquest of Yemen. Respected elders and my dear brothers, this is the mindset, that example shown to us by Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine the situation they are in. They are in war. They are facing an army. They are digging a trench. They have an army, hasn't eaten for days. They have fastened stones to their bellies. But look at the noble aspiration, the mindset the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum around him. In such a situation, while they are such, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesizes the conquest of the greatest armies and the greatest governments at that time. Respected elders and my dear brothers, let us look at where we are today. We are as per our aspirations and ambitions. We cannot blame others. We cannot give excuses. We cannot blame circumstances. As Allah Ta'ala has given us the ability the beautiful ability to respond and to decide how we react to the conditions and circumstances that Allah Ta'ala has put us in. We can't determine the circumstances that we are put in, but we can determine our response to those circumstances. Respected elders and my dear brothers, even if you look at us as a community, even locally and globally, the conditions of the companions during the early Makkan period was far harsher than today. For example, politically they were in much more difficult situation than us. Financially they were in a difficult situation. There was so much of oppression against the Muslims. In comparison, we are living in a much more comfortable time. So respected elders and my dear brothers, having high aspirations was one of the key factors that helped the Ummah develop throughout history. People, individual, youth, with positive thought, even in difficult times, early Makkan period, they maintained their positivity, they maintained aspirations, they maintained their ambitions. The early Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially with the early Muslims, the early Makkan period, he worked hard to maintain their positivity. The early Muslims were in such a hard time, but they kept the objective of spreading Islam to the far corners of the earth. In that time, if they did not have the, perhaps it is the uluwul himma, or the aspiration, or the noble ambition of someone, of some elder, that we are Muslims today to bring Islam to this corner of the world. So respected elders and my dear brothers, let us get, of course, we as a community are facing challenges. There are challenges that come, there are challenges that will come. Of course, we need to take the necessary measures in whatever areas that may be to address those challenges, to face those challenges. We must prepare ourselves. But the very important thing is that we need to get this negative attitude out of our mind. We need to get this negative thinking of our mind and become people of uluwul himma in every condition. Have high aspirations in building this deen, in contributing to this deen. Respected elders and my dear brothers, another incident. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu was once fighting against the Byzantines, and he needed some reinforcement, some help in the army. So he writes to the Khalifa at that time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, asking for reinforcement of close to 4,000 soldiers. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sends him just 4 individuals: Zubair ibn al-Awwam, Khalid ibn al-Maslama, Al-Miqdad ibn al-Amr, and Ubadah ibn al-Sabit radiallahu anhu. And with them, the Khalifa, with these 4 individuals, to his general in the battlefield, he sends a letter. And it says, "You have requested me for reinforcement worth of 4,000, and I have sent you that. Each individual is equal to 1,000 people." Of course, it was not their physical strength that he was referring to. It was their confidence. It was their mindset. It was the kind of people they were that Umar radiallahu anhu was referring to. Respected elders and my dear brothers, we need to ask ourselves, how many people do I stand for? It is with individuals like these that the glory of Islam was made. It is with people with thinking and a mindset like this that we are supposed to be and build today. This is how the Muslims, our predecessors, starting from the example of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they excelled in all aspects of their life because they were people of high aspirations. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to say, referring to a sahabi, "لَصَوْتُ الْقَعْقَاءِ فِي الْجَيْشِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ رَجُلٍ." The voice of Qa'qa in the battlefield is better than 1,000 men. Referring, he was such an individual that merely listening to his voice gave such confidence and gave such motivation. Respected elders and my dear brothers, so these were our ancestors. This is our history. This is the legacy we inherit. And this is the way of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We as Muslims are inheritors of a legacy of excellence. Islam is a religion of beauty, of excellence. As Allah Ta'ala says, as the hadith says, "Inna Allah kataba al-ihsana ala kulli shay." Verily Allah Ta'ala has prescribed excellence in everything that we do. So we as individuals and as a community need to raise the standards in whatever we are doing. We need to set the bar high. We need not aim for anything but the best. We need to strive to excel in an array of fields which is a community needs, which the community needs. We need to strive, have aspiration, especially the youth. Of course, not forgetting the elders, but I keep reminding the youth, because you are the future of the community. Aspire to serve the deen. Aspire to contribute. Aspire to serve society. Aspire to serve humanity in general. Even in a local context, respected elders and my dear brothers, if we were to just ask ourselves a few questions, if we were to take a list of the maybe some high-end examination results, government examination results, and take the best tops, how many Muslim representations will we find excelling in those different fields? If we were to take a list of the contributions maybe in the past 100, 200 years made to the country in general, different areas, maybe social welfare, economics or whatever, how many Muslims will we find who have contributed to the country and society in that the community can speak of? If we were to take a list of the businesses with the best ethics, best practices, best policies, how many Muslim background businesses will we find? If we were to take a list of educational institutions which produce the best output or the best results to society in terms of individuals, how many Islamic institutions will we find in those lists? So respected elders and my dear brothers, I believe in today's context, given the situation we are in today, these are things we need to seriously start thinking about, and this is where we need to focus our energies. Let us leave our debating with regard to fiqh and masail aside. Let us leave it aside for the moment. Of course, it is natural. Person A can do a matter in a certain way and person B can do something in a different way. It is possible that both of them are right. So let us leave that aside for the moment. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had differences of opinions amongst themselves. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahullah mentioned that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu differed in over 100 masail of fiqh, of religious matters. But when it came to their relationship, the love they had, the unity they had, the bond they had, once a person after the death of Umar radiallahu anhu comes to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and starts reciting the Quran to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu notices some difference in his recitation, and he asks, "From where did you learn to read like this?" And he says, "Umar radiallahu anhu, I learned this recitation from Umar radiallahu anhu." And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu begins to sob. Keep in mind that before in 100 masail, he begins to sob and says, "Ikra kama akra'aka Umar." Read the way Umar radiallahu anhu has taught you, because he was a vessel of knowledge. This is the love, this is the bond they had within each other. So respected elders and my dear brothers, in conclusion, let us learn to respect our differences, respect our different opinions, maybe keep it aside for the moment, and come together in building and developing this community and making a future for our children and improving our days and also contributing to the country and humanity in general, because this is the kind of people that we Muslims are supposed to be. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to understand and act upon whatever we had spoken and heard. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.